Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
You're now listening to the Jillian Michaels Show.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've got Andy via phone. I'm going to say via satellite.
Ooh,
it's really
like
just
it.
A phone line. Yeah. We've got Andy via phone for our hot topics, our opening of the show today, and you might hear a little peanut in the background.
At times you may. Usually pretty good about sleeping and eating
squeak.
And doing all that.
Little squeak.
Yeah, the little squeak.
I would ask you how you're doing, but I just saw the baby yesterday, so I'm not going to because I know
no.
how you're doing and everything's going great.
Yes, and she had her second bottle with you that I pumped myself. It was a nice little village maneuver, so thank you again.
I kind of want to punch you because this is going so smoothly. Like I'm so jealous and so hostile that I kind of want to just punch you. Literally, the kid, we were at lunch yesterday, and the kid, not a freaking peep, not a peep, a two-hour lunch, not a peep. I just thought back to,
she's milk drunk.
Yeah.
All the time.
I can't
sedated.
Even. I thought about, Phoenix and, how the gas would make him scream, and he was in pain, and he would cry, and, I would have to get up and, shush and sway and swaddle and, try everything. This kid, not a peep. I just wanted to leave lunch and punch Andy right in the face.
I held up the baby and she punched it instead.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you know what's going to happen, though? This is going to be the calm before the storm. No one gets a good pregnancy and a good delivery and a good first 4 weeks. No one gets that without paying for it. That's my theory.
No, this is my theory. People do this. They have one kid, and that one kid is the easy kid. And then they go, I got this. Then they have another. And that kid is Satan's spawn.
The first kid is the calm.
Yes,
the
first kid is always chill. The second kid is the hellraiser. But we got them both at the same time, so it didn't matter. But
no,
anyway.
that was a double. Yeah, that was, girl.
Well,
props.
So we're actually going to start out. There's some things that I kind of wanted to talk about. They're not personal anecdotes, but stuff that's going on in the news that we're going to throw out at you guys. And I know you guys know about this. The first one is South Carolina. I got to be honest with you. I don't even know. You know how I know about this? Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
That's how I know. I won't watch the news anymore because I can't handle it. I won't read the paper because I can't handle it. But I saw Jon Stewart talking about it, and that's how I know about it. And I said to Heidi, I go, did you know that these people got shot at a church? And she's like, honey, are you kidding? And I was like, when did this? Can someone tell me exactly what happened? Because I actually don't know. I'm ashamed. I don't want to know because I know that it'll make me mentally ill. So
here's
give me just the broad strokes, please.
Here's
what
my
happened?
Here's my limited bullet points understanding of it. This crazy this crazy young man had intentions to kill. He's racist. Now they're starting to insert that there was a lot of pharma stuff going on. He had a lot of drugs on board because he was taking medications and the side effects were violence, but I've never heard of a side effect being racism. And he had the intention, you know, as a racist vendetta, and he originally was going to go to the university, but then he ended up opting and going to a Bible study group at a church. And then went in and opened fire and killed all these beautiful people.
Okay. You know, here's the part. I'm going to be honest. This is a tragedy. This is disgusting. This is repulsive. But to me, this is this it's literally black and white. Yeah. But I'm like, okay, it's racist. I got it. But we all know that there are crazy sicko freaks in the world, right?
Yeah.
What upsets me more, and this is what I saw Jon Stewart talking about, and I never realized this. Do you realize that in South Carolina, they fly the Confederate, I'm going to say the F word, the Confederate flag? How is that not like flying a swastika over Beverly Hills?
That's getting a lot of press, Jill, as well.
How is that not like that? I had no, and by the way, I've been all over the country, except that we had a show in Charleston when I was touring, and it got canceled because I was sick as a dog, and we ended up going to Raleigh, North Carolina, and I didn't see that. I have seen the Confederate flag in like the boondocks of Tennessee, and I remember it was when we were shooting a show and we went to go see a contestant that lived way out there. We're shooting Loser, and it was me, the dyke, and my black camera guy Marcus, and I remember looking at him and going, who gets killed first here, bro? Like the black guy or the dyke? And he goes, me, because they don't know you're gay. And I was like, okay, good point. And I was like, well, that's comforting because I can run while they're killing you.
Right.
And I remember seeing it like way out going, wow, this is sick. But the fact that it flies, like I was like, all right, these are like some serious like backwoods, country bumpkin, like, you know, crazy nutso. This flies over the Capitol.
Yeah, I know. They're really starting to try and get it removed as well. There's a lot of interest in getting like a petition signed to get it removed.
A petition signed? I would burn it down.
Yeah.
Petition. I will bleep that. Don't panic. But that's how I feel about it. Autumn's eyes got huge. But that's how I feel about it. I feel that angry. I would go and I would burn it down. Not only that, he was saying that the streets are named after Confederate generals. So he's like, African Americans or black people drive on streets named after men that tried to do. That'd be like, honest to God, that'd be like Jewish people riding a subway train named Hitler.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, that's what that's.
Riding down SS named
Goebbels.
Street.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, how is this possible? How is this possible? And I didn't even know it. I had no idea. No idea. And then you know what I started realizing? Do you guys remember the Dukes of Hazzard?
Yeah.
Okay, girl.
Yep.
The car is named the General Lee with a Confederate flag on top of it.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
I know. I was reading some chains this morning regarding the topic and all these people and all these historians were saying, but it was a flag and the flag was used to represent motivating the troops because of the war. It's like, are you crazy?
Shut up.
That's like using the swastika.
Also
it's
used
parallel.
To motivate troops.
Yes, exactly right.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. It was. That's exactly what it was. And I think what kills me is that we already know how bad race relations are in the States. They're brutal. Yeah. They're terrible. And the fact that, like, no, how is this not pointed out? Like, even when I went to Memphis, I remember going to Memphis on tour, and I was, you know, we just struck up a conversation with a guy at a coffee shop, and he was telling me, black guy, because that's where Martin Luther King was killed. And we went to the Lorraine Motel. God, I hope I'm not messing up the name of that. That's what I remember. We went there, and I took Lou and the whole thing. And the guy was telling me, he's like, we haven't progressed here with regard to race relations since King was shot. And he came to Memphis because things were so bad. And I was like, come on, are you kidding me? He's like, no. He's like, these things are really tense here. And you know, it's bad. But there was no Confederate flag. I didn't see, you know, the general's name on the streets. And like, I remember going to Atlanta, and I remember having lunch one day with Dolvet.
Yeah.
And he and I were at lunch, this was several years ago, and we were the only biracial table. There were black people in the restaurant. There were white people in the restaurant. But black and white people did not. And I go, dude, everyone's staring at us. I'm like, you're from here? You like this place? And he's like, well, this is just how it is. And I was like, are you serious? This is creepy. This is awful. And I can't believe this is still allowed. I can't believe it. And this brings me to, that to me is the part that's the most obscene. Like, sickos are sickos. You know, there's always going to be a sicko. But the fact that the general public drives and flies a freaking Confederate flag over there?
Under the guise of history, too. But the thing is the change
the
and
of
evolution
oppression.
Of history should be the elimination of things that represent the racist and terrible aspects of
Let's fly a swastika in the name of history.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, that's a great idea. Yeah, let's never forget that. I mean, I don't know. And then, which brings me to this one, and I'll be curious of everyone's thoughts on this one. And I guess the takeaway on the last one is this is bull. There should be a no tolerance policy. No petition. Burn the flag down.
Yeah.
It should be unacceptable.
Agreed.
Absolutely disgusting and unacceptable. Sorry.
Yeah.
And so the next one is this lady, I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name right, Rachel Dolezal? Pronounce it, Autumn.
I've been saying Dolezal.
Dolezal.
Yeah, I've been saying Dolezal.
Dolezal.
Which I hope is close.
So
I think everyone knows who we're talking about.
This blew my mind, this story.
I gotta be honest, I kind of love this. I kind of love it. She's a NAACP chapter president.
Yep.
She's a black rights advocate and activist. And she's a white woman who's been, quote, identifying as black and been lying.
Also a professor at a university, I read this morning, in black history or Africana, they were calling it, but I don't know what that means. It's more South African to me.
I think it is more South African. But
yeah.
Are black people upset about this? I don't think they are, because they said that she... Oh, they are?
Yes. I've read
that
they are
upset?
Yes.
Oh, I thought they were happy because she was doing good work.
No. Well, that's what the NAACP is saying, because they have to save some face here. This woman has been acting as a representative of... I believe she's in Montana, so she was the chapter president up there. And... you know, what they're saying is, well, you don't have to be any color to work for our cause.
I agree with that, too.
They don't discriminate. My problem is the lie.
Because she said she was black.
She never said she was
or
wasn't.
It's so unbelievable.
But there, it was implied.
This is going to sound really weird.
Adopted brother, you know, another, her parents had adopted black children that were much younger than her, and she brought one of them, came to live with her, and she was presenting him as her son.
Oh.
And implied another gentleman in a photograph was her father.
Oh.
Her parents are like two, you know, I mean, white is white.
I guess here's my thought, though. She's not hurting anyone.
I
kind of feel like if you're not hurting anyone, then, and she's doing good things, her cause is noble. Why do we care? Like, I can never advocate lying, but at the same time, she's not hurting anybody.
Well, and that's where it's tricky. But so you're, what I've been reading. Look, I don't understand. I'm not.
I think I could venture to understand her.
I understand her sort of, but what a lot of the things that I've been reading in various articles of people that are not happy with her is you're taking all the good parts. Or what you think are the good parts, you're playing this part of I want to be black, but you're not really black.
Here's what I think is happening, though. Okay, go ahead.
And what
on,
benefits did you receive from this? This was my other thing. Like, she went to Howard.
Oh, did she get, like, a scholarship?
I don't know. But that's the thing. Like, what box did you check?
Well, if she...
And if you received any sort of benefits from that lie, that's a problem.
I agree.
You would not have been in this position where you are... Or maybe you would have, but you don't know. You don't know that you would have without the lie. My problem.
If she took a grant from somebody who is legitimately black,
right,
then you've hurt someone. Now you've taken something that wasn't yours and you've denied somebody something that was rightfully theirs. If she didn't, then I still go back to, I don't think she hurt some. I don't see how she hurt somebody. Oh. And part of me kind of gets it, and here's why I get it, because I find that, like, when I struggle with prejudice, I am prejudiced against rich white people.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like in Malibu.
What about the oppressors?
Oh my God,
really?
Dude. Like when I'm in Malibu, every Sunday we take the kids to Starbucks for breakfast. And it's like, you know, when I was a kid, we went for donuts. This is like their version. And there's always this white guy, this rich white guy who sits at a table, the biggest table there, with his paper. And there's tables for two. There's booths. There's families of five trying to make a table out of a two-top. He never moves. And this is how Malibu is. People will, like, stop in the middle of the street because they're rich, white, and entitled. They will do crappy work. Like, you hire, I hate to say this, but, like, whenever I hire, like, you know, the fancy-to-do contractor, they always half-ass the job. They scan, like... and that's where I'm starting to notice, like, I'm developing a prejudice against it. And Heidi's like, honey, and I'm like, these privileged people that think they're better than everybody else, that think they're entitled to everything, this would not fly in any other part of the country. I was like, you just wouldn't see it. And my shrink is, again, it goes back to, he's like, and I find that I identify more with, like, the Latinos who are treated like crap. You know, my little Thai massage therapists who are treated like crap, you know, and it's like, I look at these people who come to our country and they just want a better life. They work their butts off.
Yeah.
They're good, law-abiding citizens. You know, my grandparents were immigrants, and I identify more with them. And I'm like, I identify with your plight. I identify with your struggle. And I empathize with, for some reason, their journey. And I'm a white person. But I can't accept it. I'm like, I can't really be this color. It can't be possible. Because I don't actually feel like that rich white person that lives in Malibu. And that's
well,
me.
You're not.
But I am, Andy.
Not in a lot of ways you're not. Not in the worst stereotypical way that we're talking
but
about.
But I feel like she must have felt something to this extent where she was like, I just don't feel like this kind of... I feel like I identify with this race, this journey, their struggle, something about this. Clearly, like really, she identified with it to such a degree that almost like Bruce, formerly Bruce Jenner, now Caitlyn Jenner, was like, I'm not white. I'm black. I'm a woman. I really think that this is what's going on for her. And so I got to say, like, to a certain extent, I really do get it. I feel like I honest to God feel like I at times am a black. I'm like, how am I not black? Why am I not a black person? Everything about me feels black. Why am I not black? Like, I don't understand it. I don't identify with, like, the environment I was raised in, the culture I was raised in,
right.
Like, the rich white privilege. Like, I don't get it. And I don't know if it's because I was a bullied loser kid. I don't know what it is. But I think that this is the same way a transgender individual doesn't feel like they're male or female. They feel like they're the opposite gender. Like, she doesn't feel white. And I got to tell you, there's a little part of me that doesn't understand when I look in the mirror and I see my white ass face. I'm like, this house is possible.
Yeah,
how is it possible? So I kind of get it. And you can get as mad at me as you want, and it can be as politically incorrect as possible. But I got to say, there's a little part of me that gets it. No, I
heard that
on
a thread this morning with them saying that. I copy and pasted it. It said that the devil's advocate is that if Caitlyn Jenner can alter herself to become who she identifies with, why can't Rachel, if she was not to harm or take advantage,
exactly.
but to live her identity as who she thought she was? And
I
was like, I don't even know how to differentiate because, you know, people will say, well, it's biological. But it's like, well, biological, she feels. You know, it was
biologically. Caitlyn was a man.
Yeah.
Biologically.
Yeah.
I mean, all right, we'll move on. I got one more, Andy, that I want to bring this up because you sent it to me. Attendant sends breast pumping mom to the bathroom. What happened?
So on JetBlue, there was a lady who was sitting in a chair, and she felt embarrassed in her seat, and she didn't want to breastfeed. And so she went to the back and asked the flight attendants if she could please use, like, the back space, you know, where you get your juice and your extra chips or your little minuscule bag of peanuts, and said, can I just, you know, pump quickly here? And they said no. They said, you have to go to the bathroom. And so she was really, really upset about it and tweeted about it and has a lot of followers because she has an Instagram.
Why? Or was it because you're not allowed to stand there? Because sometimes when I wait for the bathroom,
That was the feedback. So they're saying, we didn't shame you because you were breastfeeding. Under the laws, we can't have you sit in the jump seat and do that. But I think she stood up and maybe had her, you know, awaiting yellow card flag to say, well, they were being biased against me, or this was a situation of her, you know, being, like, it was about breastfeeding. But a lot of people had said, I'm a mom and I'm a flight attendant. It's not safe. If you felt like you were okay to breastfeed in the back, then, you know, stay in your chair and cover it up. And so I'm, you know, I side with the airlines, I got to say, because I feel like, you know, there's nothing like, you can just put a muslin cloth around you like a big bib, feed your baby. People know what you're doing. It's not like you're standing up and flashing them.
Yeah.
You're not applying for a Hooters job on the airline. And, you know, sit down, be quiet, apologize in advance, and just say, I'm sorry, you know, I'm just going to breastfeed my baby. But there's ways to do it and not even expose the nip slip. So I just, and people were enraged. She had thousands and thousands of responses saying, you know, we should sue the airlines and all that. And it's like, good grief. So I don't side with her, but it is an issue.
No, I think this is a hot topic, though, not just for the airline. I think that you always hear about this. Restaurant won't let mom breastfeed you.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a celebrity who got dinged for this? And
Alyssa Milano, not that long ago, they made her dump her milk. Or they wouldn't.
What?
Because it was in the over the ounce.
What?
The regulation for the amount of liquid.
Mm-hmm.
What about the?
There was another one too where they asked her to refrain from breastfeeding in
a restaurant or something like that.
Yeah.
Look,
it's a hard one. I mean, as a breastfeeding mom right now, there's certain places. Like yesterday, you know how I pumped and we went to a nice kind of fancier restaurant.
Yeah.
I don't want to try and schnaggle and do all that kind of stuff. So you either have to prepare or not go. And some people would advocate and say, you can go anywhere you want. But you know what? Some restaurants, you don't bring your kids because it's not appropriate. So you don't bring your baby and you don't breastfeed. I don't know. That's just my take on it.
I feel like I think the balance here is the whole cloth. You just cover, be discreet.
Yeah.
Don't be overt about it. Because that I can understand. Like, if my son was 7, I don't know that I'd want him to see, like, someone's boob out. But I get the cloth thing. I'd be like, was just covering up. And I would explain it to him. But I still think kids can be titillating and confusing. And that's where, you know, he's 3. But it's like, with the cloth thing, who cares? And by the way, I don't... Personally, for me, I actually don't know that I would care because you've breastfed Pearl and no one cares. But I mean, I guess, to play devil's advocate, I would just say, you know, just be semi-chill about it.
Well, but this woman wasn't breastfeeding. She just needed to pump. She didn't even have her kids with her.
Yeah.
Well,
I think that is...
I just think it was where she was... My gut is it's where she was standing because you're not allowed to congregate there.
No.
Because, like, I'll get up and wait for the bathroom and stretch my legs and they're like, ma'am, you can't stand here. And I'm like, but every time I sit down, someone else gets up and they're like, you can't stand here.
Yeah.
So, that was a tough one. It's hard to know on that one because we weren't there and a lot of it's tone and all of that, but...
And not to stereotype, you know, the daisies in the hair and the... You know, the flowing hippies, but I just feel like a lot of the people that were complaining were the people who are maybe looking for a cause, whereas I just feel like there's some simpler answers, and you just have discretion.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't have said that before, but I am saying it now because it's like you got to manage kind of context. But if it's a safety issue with the airlines, you can't. Like, what if there was turbulence and she was sitting in the jump seat and they had to get everybody back to their seats? Just stay in your seat then and cover it up rather than it being dangerous. I don't know. That's my take.
I like it. I like it.
Good.
Schmander. All right, Boogie. Well, you know what? I'll call you in a little bit for another segment on another show, even though it's all on the same day to the listeners.
Call me back.
Yeah.
Don't leave me at home.
You are at home.
Oh, I know. I know, but I want to be with you guys, so call me back.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Okay, guys, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition is the world's largest nutrition school. And I'm familiar with their school. I've met a bunch of their graduates. One actually used to work for me. And now she has a great career as a health coach, and she loves it. She's an authority on food, lifestyle, healthy living. Why not you? Sign up. You can be your own first client. You can make yourself healthier and happier while learning to improve the lives of others around you. Our online program covers all dietary theories with the top 100 teachers in the world, Deepak Chopra, Arianna Huffington, Marie Forleo, Dr. Mark Hyman. Plus, they give you business training to help you launch your own health coaching practice. Being healthy is every person's right, and integrative nutrition is on a mission to make the world a healthier and happier place. Join them. Go to www.integrativenutrition.com/JillianMichaels. Get access to a free simple class. Feel what it would be like to be a student at this school. Go check it out now. That's www.integrativenutrition.com/JillianMichaels. Oh, hello.
so we're back.
Yeah.
And I've noticed when I've been going through the emails, we have a podcast email, people, by the way, if you have questions, send them our way. So one that's
been... you didn't give them the email.
It's jillianpodcast@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page. Check it out.
What's it called?
The Jillian Michaels Show.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so one of the ones that we've been coming, I've been coming across quite a bit is the the last 10 pounds. Oh. So we've had, and this kind of relates both
I've answered this so many times.
I know,
times.
But you got to hear it. It's one of those things. You can never say it too much. You know, okay. Both with regard to motivation, that last 10 pounds, and also hitting that physical plateau. Like I'm doing my diet every day. I'm working out of my routine. I hit that place where I just can't shed that last 10.
Okay. All right.
Help us, Jillian.
Help us, Jillian. Right. Okay. Well, I've said this so many times, I feel like a jerk saying it again. But for those of you who want to know, awesome. For those of you who have heard it, feel free to push the fast forward button. So 10 pounds is a very different animal than 25, 50, 70, 75, 100, than unhealthy weight. Hence the concept of vanity pounds. So your body, especially a female body, likes to have 10 pounds, 10 extra pounds. And we consider them extra pounds because from an aesthetic perspective, you know, we're a culture that's obsessed with skinny. And, you know, you can go back and forth and say it isn't so, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is so. We're a culture that's obsessed with skinny. That's why books like with the name skinny in it or products with the name skinny in it, skinny cow, skinny girl, skinny bitch, skinny rules, all these things sell through the roof because we are obsessed with skinny. So what's healthy, you might not find aesthetically pleasing. And I'll be honest, I'm perfectly healthy at 125 pounds, but I'd rather be 115 because I just like the look better. That's what cult society has told me is better looking. I now like my body at 115 pounds or 117, which is usually where I live. So with that said, the body wants to lose excess weight. When we're overweight, the body's like, ugh, I'm sick, I'm unhealthy, and it's much easier to lose.
Mm-hmm.
When the body has, quote, vanity pounds, it's much happier. So your body goes, okay, if I ever go into a period of famine, I've got a little bit on reserve. If I want to have a baby, I have enough fat stores, you know, for milk and to build my baby and all of this stuff. So your body considers that healthy. I could take people with, quote, 10 pounds to lose to the doctor, and 99 times out of 100, they'll get a perfectly awesome bill of health. So again, because it's an aesthetic issue, your body is going to really hold on to that weight. It doesn't want to lose the weight because it's going, no, we're starving. No. I want these stores. So what we have to do is trick your body into getting rid of it. And the way to do that is to make sure you have a minimal calorie deficit. So the first rule is not to create a deficit of over 500 calories a day. Because your body, that's not too bad. And yes, you might lose a pound a week, but with 10 pounds, you're going to have to be patient.
Yeah.
You really are. I mean, if you've got 10 pounds to lose, I could shred you out in 30 days. But, you know, remember, I could probably get 5 pounds of fat off of you and 5 pounds of water. So, in truth, you want to lose 10 pounds of fat, you got to give this. You're going to, like, body shred is a 60-day program. So, you're going to have to give this, like, 2 months. Like, literally, give yourself a pound a week, and if you lose a little bit more, awesome. But give yourself 2 months. So, okay, here we go. A deficit, no more than 500 calories a day. Another thing that'll make a big difference, sleep as often as possible. Another thing, supplement. Give yourself an edge. Because when you're trying to eke out you're trying to take your body from good to great, you're going to need some cheats, man. I call them cheats. They're not really cheats, but like you'll need a little something. So I don't want to say fat burners because that word has such a negative connotation. But the truth of the matter is there are products out there that will help when you don't overdo it. And there's not too much caffeine that will give you more intensity, more power, more energy when you're training. They'll help mobilize fat stores.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, don't do that and drink coffee. So no more than 400 milligrams a day of caffeine.
Okay. One or the other.
Right, exactly. Another thing is we want to keep the cortisol levels down. So I've been taking this vitamin C supplement. Vitamin C helps to inhibit cortisol levels. And it's oh my God, it's disgusting. Nicole and I had it the other day. It tastes, I don't even want to say this out loud on the show, but it, okay, screw it. If you took a condom and you ate it, that's what it tastes like.
No, a condom tastes better, I'm telling you.
Well, I haven't tasted a condom in a really long time. Gross. I'm not going to lie, but I vaguely remember the stench of one of those, and that's what I remember it tasting like.
How odd.
It's like a liquid gel.
It's disgusting. Ugh. But I took it. It took it because it's like fat soluble, highly absorptive, and I mix it in with like a wellness shot with a little ginger, lemon juice, cayenne pepper. And I shoot it, and so I like try to do it to manage my zinc is also a really good one to help manage your thyroid. Make sure that you're getting your vitamins and minerals. Make sure your thyroid's functioning properly because your thyroid needs zinc, iodine, selenium to make T4, thyroid hormone, free thyroid hormone, then to make T4, then to turn T4 into T3. So to make a long story short, make sure you're getting the right amount of micronutrients, vitamins, and minerals. You don't need to go crazy. Just get a good quality multi. It cannot hurt. Let's put it that way.
Right. Okay.
Hydration, really important because a lot of that weight is going to be water retention. So if you want to see the difference, let me tell you, 3 pounds of bloat makes a big difference. So keep your sodium down. You know, don't eat more than 2,000 milligrams of sodium a day. If you're working out all the time and sweating like crazy, that's going to be different. But for the most part, we don't, you know, you don't need that much salt at all. Drink water. Water helps to flush out bloat because, yeah, water's autumn's having some water right now. As I said, get your sleep. And the more you can remove the processed crap from your diet, the easier it's going to be to cut up.
Right.
So, you know, all the processed carbs and the processed crap, get rid of it. Eat as clean as possible, which means as chemical free as possible. And when it comes to your workout regimen, make sure that you mix it up. You need variety in your regimen. So this is where I get kind of irritated with people that get addicted to one kind of workout. Like, I'm a runner. I'm a cyclist. I do yoga. I'm a CrossFitter. Like when you do the same thing over and over and over again, the body adapts to it and ceases to change. So you've got to have variety in your regimen. You should be mixing it up constantly. You should be hitting the muscle with a different amount of repetition, different exercises to hit the same muscle from different angles of push and pull with different amounts of resistance. And every 2 weeks, you should try to up that intensity by 10%. And we can do that. One of the things that a phrase that I've coined with Body Shred is accumulative intensity progression. So it might not necessarily be the amount of weight you've upped it by. It might be the amount of reps you've upped it by. Mm-hmm. It might be the type of exercise you've upped it by. So let's say you were doing push-ups on your hands and knees. Well, now you've done 5 of those 10 push-ups on your hands and feet, then had to drop to your knees. Or you've done more reps on your hands and knees. So there are a million different ways of doing it. Just make sure it's a little bit harder. Right. Every 2 weeks, so you're constantly pushing. And don't overtrain. That's another thing people do. When you overtrain, your body goes into stress mode. If you're trying to lose the last 10 pounds, no more than 5 hours a week. No way.
Okay.
It's too much. It's too much. You'll feel exhausted. You'll start to get injured. No more than 5 hours a week. Stop. And that's the key, dude. And then just patience, man. Stick. That's why Body Shred's a half an hour, six times a week. It's a half an hour. Six times, half an hour. And two of those days are cardio days.
Yeah, that's great.
And every single workout, every 2 weeks, it ups in intensity, and every single workout's different. So it's constantly.
And that's 3 hours.
A week.
That's all
you need with the right diet. That's it. And it's. You know what else pisses me off? Whenever we post those, whenever I post those before and afters, people go, oh, that's fake. That's Photoshop. Let me just tell you, it's jail time. It's not fake. It's highly, highly regulated.
I've been at these shows.
Not fake.
I can vouch for
not only that,
the reality of them all.
It's a video. We have it all on video. You don't Photoshop every frame of a video that was shot over 2 months. It's not fake. It's real. So there you go. Pisses me off.
Question. If you up your caffeine intake,
does it
release the bloating? Because it's a diuretic?
It's a double-edged sword. When you use a diuretic to get rid of water weight, then your body is dehydrated and it wants more water. So actually, the best way to get rid of water weight is hydration. The more water you drink, the less water your body holds on to.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Of course it does.
National Academy of Sports Medicine is looking for people who want to be personal trainers. Wake up every day doing something you love. NASM trainers are improving people's lives, helping them reach their health and wellness goals. They get paid to stay in shape. You can work with athletes. You can work in health clubs. You can work in corporate wellness. You can do what you love. Get paid doing it. What is better than that? Plus, NASM guarantees you will land a job as a personal trainer within 60 days of earning your CPT certification, or they will give you the money back. Guaranteed. So just go to myusatrainer.com for a free 14-day trial of their fast and fun online program. That's myusatrainer.com. Restrictions apply. Visit myusatrainer.com for details.
All right, Jill, so today we have a special caller.
A caller! Woohoo!
Kelly's on the line, and she has some questions for the career coach.
Oh! Okay, well done. Hi, Kelly. How can we be helpful today?
Hi, Jill.
You have to... It's not Jill. Please. Career coach.
Career coach Michaels.
Yes.
Hello,
Coach Michaels.
Coach Michaels. That's right.
That's a good one. Yeah, okay. That'll be my... That's going to be my handle for these.
I love it.
Coach, advise all future coaches.
Not to be confused with the love doctor.
No,
right?
No, the doctor's not in right now. Coach Michaels is here. How can the coach help?
Okay, so I have been... I just turned 40 this past year. Thank you. And have been in the same career in marketing for like my whole life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
Okay. So
for several years now, I have been thinking I need something different. Like it's just not fulfilling to me anymore.
Yeah.
And so been sort of on a several year search for like, what is that thing? Like what is it that I really am passionate about and
yeah.
want to do and can be so incredibly successful in.
Okay.
And so I had my epiphany a couple of years ago, which was I want to become a life coach.
Oh, I love it.
Because
okay.
I feel like I can be amazing. Like that is my jam, right? And
yeah.
so so ever since then I've been trying to, you know, talk to my husband about this career change and, you know, what I want to do, the coaching program I want to attend, how much it's going to cost, this and that. And he is being completely unsupportive, completely. Like, he thinks I'm being irresponsible. We have three very young children.
What did I just say about this? I know exactly where I'm putting this with what I just talked about this and how people don't, how they ruin their lives by literally, and the end result was kind of by doing what they think is the responsible thing to do instead of what their heart tells them to do. So, and,
yeah.
I'm sorry, anyway, go on.
Yeah, and so, he's just being completely irresponsible. He thinks that I
wow.
was putting the
family... Wow, do you hear that Freudian slip?
A...
You said he was being irresponsible, even though I know you're saying...
See,
thinks
yeah.
you're being... Got it, okay, go on.
Yeah. So he thinks, you know, fiscally that I'm would be putting the family in a really bad financial position. You know, he's very set on the amount of money that I need to make, how much money we need to put away every month for the kids' education.
I was just writing
you know,
down my questions for you. I was like, why do we need
okay.
his permission?
Or,
so,
okay.
so do we need his permission because he's saying you must contribute this much and you won't be able to, and by
yes.
being unable to, you put us all in jeopardy?
Yes, pretty much.
Okay, ready?
And,
first
know,
question.
Okay.
What does he do?
He is a federal agent.
Whoa.
DEA, be specific, yes.
Does he love his job?
He does, but I'm not going to lie. It's not the biggest breadwinner of all. Like,
So wait a sec. Hold on a second here.
Yes.
He loves his job?
He loves his job, although it has come with years of frustrations, but generally, like, he loves his job. And so...
So he loves his job, but he doesn't make a ton of money.
Right. So the kicker
about
this is...
So you need to do your job, even if you don't like it, to compensate for what he doesn't make.
Exactly. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, wow, I was expecting it. I got to be honest. I was expecting this to go in the complete opposite direction. If he hates his job, but, you know... But he does it to make money and expects you to do the same. But no, this is totally different. Wow.
Yeah.
Exact opposite end of the spectrum here.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, Jill, I mean, just a slight amount of background. Like, so I think in me coming to him with this, because I do marketing now, I have done it for over 20 years. And to him, this is like a complete 180. He's like, you go from having this marketing career to, I want to be a life coach. So it's, to him, it's just a complete 180. And I think he's seeing my mom. So my mom has, for her whole life, has gone from job to job to job. She has always started new jobs, started at the very bottom, had to work her way up a little bit, and then she would quit and go on to the next thing. And so I think that's what he's seeing here. And, you know, I keep trying to tell him, like, you know, after high school, I didn't go straight to college. I went straight into the workforce, but I knew I needed a degree. It took me 8 years. I went to, you know, I went to school part-time to get my degree while I was working full-time, supporting myself, traveling all the time for work, and I finished it. Like, I did it. You know, I was 50 pounds heavier 3 years ago and told him I wanted to get back down to a size 4. He said, no way, you can't do it. I got down, back down to a size 4.
Right, hold on,
you know?
hold on. How long have we been married to this guy?
10 years.
Okay. So here's the thing. Okay. Have you had an in-depth conversation with him about the quality of your life and how you feel about all of this?
Yes. So the whole career change conversation came up 2 years ago, and I came to your Maximize Your Life show and was actually inspired by that. And so I came home from that show thinking, okay, now I'm down to my size 4. I've achieved this, this, and this. This is my next thing, and I can do it. Like, I can do it. And so that's where it all came from. And so we had the conversation. It was very in-depth, you know, and he basically told me at that point in time, he said, you know what, let's wait until we don't have 3 children in daycare and have that monthly expense. And then we can look at, you know, because the coaching program is not cheap, right?
Yeah.
And so let's look at that first. Let's look at our finances and then see what we can do. Maybe at that point we can let you just work part-time in your regular job, and then you can focus the other part of the time on this and building your business. So I said, okay, great. So now we just got 2 kicked out of daycare. So now we just have 1 in there. And I'm like, you know, she only has a year and a half left. So we're coming up on that time, you know, so let's have this conversation again.
And what's the logic now?
And so now he was just, you know what, Jill, I think he thought I was going to forget.
This isn't a career. This is the love doctor.
I'm sorry, coach.
Autumn, we need the doctor. This is not a career coach. She already knows what she wants to do. She needs the doc. All right, Mama, here's the deal.
Yeah.
You know what you want to do. You're obviously a very intelligent, disciplined, methodical person who has been successful at establishing a goal and achieving it. So that's not the issue. The issue is whatever the dynamic is with your husband, why he feels threatened when you go to make these kinds of improvements and changes to your life, and how best to manage this dynamic in your family, in your home. So, you know, I would just say, okay, money, yeah. But then when you told me, I said I was going to get to a size 4, and he said no, it seems like there's a theme here, that whenever you're seeking to improve the quality of your life, he's like, no. Finds a reason for you not to do it.
Yeah, and I will tell you one other thing, Joe.
Okay.
I've never in my life run a 5K, ever. Not even a 5K, right? I signed up to do the Tough Mudder 6 months ago. He kept telling me for the past 6 months, you're not going to be able to, you're going to get in there, you're going to break your ankle, you're going to hurt yourself. I just finished the Tough Mudder last weekend. I finished uninjured, not even a pulled muscle, and I did the whole 10 miles, every obstacle, bam.
Yay! You trained for it, though, right?
Right? And I'm 40. Like, I just turned 40.
But
so,
did you train for that?
I did.
Right.
I did. Yeah.
So see, the way you're approaching things is intelligently. So, you know, you're doing your homework, you're training accordingly, and you're going after it. So look, we could speculate all day long about where this guy's coming from. I mean, the first question, this is going to, we just need to establish this. Okay. I'm sorry to ask it because I have kids and I know how what I should be saying to you, but before I do say it, I just want to know, is there a lot of good in this relationship too?
The good has dwindled. You know, I probably do need Love Doctor.
Okay.
There's not a lot of good left, and I'm hanging on to, but there's a lot of other complicated stuff.
I know, I understand. I understand. But what I would also say is that the stuff that gets complicated suddenly becomes far less complicated when we get to the end of our rope. You know, when it's like, no, you know, the kids, the this, the house, it's all in our name. Oh, the families and the social stuff and the values and the this and the that. And it's like, when you're done, you're done. When you're done, you're done. And it all goes out the window. And it's like, you know, come what may, you know what I mean? You deal with it. It's like, you deal with it. You help get the kids through it. You deal with the family judgment. You deal with the divorce stuff. You figure out the finances, and people do it. They do it all the time. I'm not suggesting you get a divorce, but it sounds like the first thing you guys need to do is get into counseling and decide whether or not to save the marriage. And I'm going to tell you right now that you must pursue this goal of yours, this career goal. You're not, clearly after talking to you, you're not an irresponsible person. You're not an ignorant person. You're not an impulsive person. You're very thoughtful. You're very methodical. You go about things very intelligently, and your success rate is tremendous. So you know that you're going to do this program. You're going to get educated. You're going to build a bridge from your current career to that career, establish a practice, and then go from there. You already know you can do it. So that's not going to be the issue. The issue is going to be you doing it and having issues in the marriage, you not doing it and having issues in the marriage. Either way, you've got issues in the marriage. So you're either going to resent the hell out of him, or he's going to feel threatened and resent the hell out of you or badger you. And you guys got to get into counseling and decide what to do. Where is this dynamic coming from? Are you able to work through it? And if not, how do you amicably part ways? I'm sorry. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line, kid.
And you know what? We did do some marriage counseling, and it was short lived because, you know, we tried to do individual counseling as well, which we both needed.
Right, of course.
And he basically stated he didn't need any counseling. He's concerned about my happiness. If I'm happy, he's happy. So he's good.
Well, which is not true, though. Because then when you tell him what makes you happy, he tells you that you can't do it. That's not true.
Yeah.
All right, Lou, you got to go. We did this before with a caller who had a very, very different issue. But the husband, remember this? Autumn, the one whose husband wanted her to do a three-way.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we ended up being like, sweetie, you got to. We thought it was going to be a sex question, and it was a love doctor question.
Yep.
And we were like, listen, you guys got to get into counseling. And the husband, same thing. Like, we don't need counseling. And the thing is, you do need counseling because
you are
feeling unhappy. You're feeling like you're not being heard. You're feeling like your needs are not being acknowledged or met. You're feeling like you're not being validated. You do need it. And so the conversation is, honey, you know, we're at this place where, you know, we're at a fork in the road here. And I've got these issues. You've got these issues, whether you admit it or not. But, you know, either way, we have a fundamental problem, and it's systemic in other aspects of our relationship. And I think we need to get into therapy and figure out how to proceed.
Yeah.
So and if he's not on board, sweetheart, then that's a if he can't hear you and he can't fight for the marriage, that's a much bigger issue. And I never want to advocate a divorce or the end of a relationship. But I'm also a person that believes we meet certain people at certain times in our life, you know, and they, you know, we get certain things that are good, and there might come a time where we outgrow the dynamic. And it's one thing to not fight for the relationship. You always fight. You fight for that relationship. But if the other person is unwilling to fight or incapable of progressing or evolving or looking at their stuff, there's nothing you can do about that. And you can't throw away the rest of your life because of it.
Yeah.
So, and I never want to advocate a divorce, but I'm just saying, if you're at a place with somebody, I don't believe in staying in a relationship where you're unhappy or where it compromises the quality of your life, because as horrible as that will be on your family, it's going to be equally as horrible for them to see a mom who didn't follow their dreams, parents who fought all the time, you know, who didn't have intimacy, who didn't have happiness, who, you know, it would be much better if, in my opinion, those parents decided, look, we're no longer functioning well as a romantic couple, but we can co-parent as two individuals that respect one another, that lead separate lives.
Yeah.
And I've seen that in many different cases, and I've seen that work. I've seen two people who said, you know what? I love you as a person. You know, I respect you as a person, and I appreciate all we have together, but we've definitely come to this place where, you know, our time as a couple has come to an end, and they do the work, they work out stuff with the kids, they do it very respectfully and amicably, and they figure it out. Is it going to be easy? No. But guess what? You're at a situation where you get a divorce. Will it hurt? Will it suck? Yes. You don't get a divorce. Is it going to hurt? Is it going to suck? Yes. But in that scenario, it gets worse if the problems don't get resolved.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to get him into therapy, sweetie. And by all means, you giving up the goal is not an option. So here's what I recommend you do for yourself as well. This isn't necessarily to please him. It's for because it's going to serve you. But you're going to sit down and do what you do. You're going to come up with your game plan of how you're going to finance this, of how you're going to start to build that business, of how you're going to start to make that transition, of when the transition's going to be complete. And A, you're going to have it for yourself because you're going to follow it through. But B, you're going to take it into the situation when you guys start communicating and saying, this is what I'm doing. This is how I'm planning it. You know, I've been successful up until now, and I think our issues are not finances. You know, you weren't supportive when I talked about my health and my weight loss. You weren't supportive when I tried the Tough Mudder. And I think there's something else going on, honey. And we either get into therapy or counseling, and we work this out and we get to the bottom of it, or we don't. Yeah. And we, you know, we mutually and respectfully part ways.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do not want my yum yucked anymore.
Oh my God, are you watching that show? You are, because it's my favorite show in the world.
It's the best show ever.
Did you watch it last night?
No, it's on the DVR. I still have
to watch it. All right, I don't want to spoil it for you, but like, Tom, we're talking about Happy-ish, which is my favorite show on TV. I mean, I'm like, oh my God, like it's the best show on TV. And he wants to, I don't want to tell you. He's just, it's similar to what you're going through.
And no way.
But not with the wife, but like what he wants to do. And I don't know, just watch it. It's the best show on TV. I am obsessed with it.
Yeah.
So
anyway, me too.
Oh my God. It's so good, dude. It's like, I watch it every week. I'm like, oh my God, this is like, I'm positive that somebody has like secretly recorded my therapy sessions.
I know.
This is me. This is totally me.
I know.
It's incredible.
He's awesome.
In the midst of an existential crisis. Which is exactly, oh my God. Anyway, all I'll say to you is this. On a positive note, I have every confidence in the world that, you know, you'll make the shift and you'll do what you love and you'll be great at it and you'll be better off for it. You know, and on a constructive note, I'm sorry to say that there's definitely going to be some bumps in the road here. But you know, this is life. This is the fabric of life, you know, is in engaging, embracing these challenges and just committing yourself to an end result. And it's like, I'm going here. This is what's going to make me happy. And this is how I'm going to do it responsibly. And I want to be with you on this journey. I want to work this out. I want us to save our marriage, but we're going to have to do it as a team. You need to do this with me. He needs to acknowledge that there's an issue. He needs to get in there and then you guys dig through it. But if you're the only one fighting, then you can't. That's, you can't win there. That's not going to work. You both got to be in it, fighting the good fight, fighting for the marriage, fighting for each other. And that's really going to be kind of the deciding factor, is if he's willing to acknowledge that there's an issue here and to get in there and do the work. And if he can't, by the way, it isn't because he doesn't love you. It's obviously going to be based on his own limitations, sweetheart.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I love you so much. Absolutely love you. You are like my inspiration for so much in life. So this means a lot.
Thank you, buddy. Well, I look forward to you being in the field as a life coach.
Yeah.
I know you'll be great at it. So.
I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, send us the updates.
I will. Okay, thank you so much, guys.
Bye, Kelly.
Have a great
day.
Thanks, Autumn.
you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.